Happy Sabbath, Church. It is indeed a very blessed day for us to come and worship the Almighty God. God has set apart this day. He has sanctified it. He has made it holy. And so, in obedience to His command, we have come to worship the most precious and almighty God. Today, I will be speaking to you from the topic, God is with you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our God. Amen. George Washington Carver was born in 1864 when the opportunities for African Americans were much less than they are today. As a child growing up, he was often sick, and he could not do most of the things kids his age did. However, he took advantage of this handicap to spend time studying plants. Carver was able to develop his knowledge and love of plants and to use it to such an extent that his neighbors would ask him to help them with their dying plants. In an interview in 1922, Carver recalled, "Often people in the neighborhood who had plants would say to me, 'George, my fern is sick. See what you can do with it.' I would take their plants to my garden, and soon they would be blooming again." George Washington Carver went on to become an agricultural scientist who invented over 300 products from the peanut plant. Products such as oil, flour, dye, and ink. He also promoted alternative crops to cotton and methods of soil depression. In 1921, Carver had the distinct honor to address the Ways and Means Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives on behalf of the peanut industry that was seeking tariff protection. George Washington Carver went on to use his abilities for the benefit of others. This leads me to another young man who used his abilities for the benefit of others. Joseph, the 11th child of his father. Joseph, I want to believe, had to do a lot of fighting to be accepted by his brothers. For those of you who are from large families, you understand what I'm talking about. But what made Joseph's life even harder among his brothers is the fact that his father, Jacob, favored him above them, just because Joseph was Rachel's son, and Rachel, as we all know, was Jacob's favorite wife. One can argue from a very young age that Joseph believed that he was destined for greatness. In dreams, God assured Joseph that he would be in a position of greatness over both his parents and his brothers. Genesis 37, 5 through to 11. Joseph's brothers disliked him for many reasons, added to the fact that his father favored him, he was now telling them that he had a dream where their bundles of grain bowed down to his bundle of grain. So one day, his brothers got the opportunity to exact revenge upon Joseph. They conspired among themselves to kill him. Fortunately for him, he was not killed, but was actually sold as a slave. At this point, I want to believe that Joseph was becoming desperate, for it appeared that God had abandoned him. I want to imagine that Joseph was questioning God as to why he would allow him to be torn away from his home and his family. But unknown to Joseph, God was putting his plan in action for greater things for him. When we are faced with trials, let us not resort to blaming God. Let us trust God, because he is working out his plan exactly the way he has designed it. We may not understand it. All we need to do is to remember what Isaiah 55:8 says. It says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." Church, we just need to trust God when we go through our difficulties and allow him to take the wheel. In Genesis chapter 39, we have the account of Joseph as a slave in the house of Potiphar. We don't know exactly what Joseph did as a slave in Potiphar's house. He was merely in his master's house doing whatever assignments he was given. We don't know exactly the capacity in which he served, but the Bible tells us that when Potiphar recognized Joseph's general competencies and success, he promoted him to be his personal steward, and he put him in charge of everything that he had. Genesis 39:4. Genesis 39:5-6 says, "From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops flourished." Verse 6, "So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat." Joseph found himself in a foreign land, but instead of feeling sorry for himself, he decided that he was going to be the best that he could be in the circumstance. It was Martin Luther King Jr. who once encouraged people to be the best that they could be with these words. He said that if it happens in your lot to become a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper that you can be, so that when you are gone, people could say, "There goes the best street sweeper there ever was." Joseph understood that as a child of God, he was called to reflect the character of his Almighty God, regardless of the situation he found himself in. He was far away from his father and his home, but Joseph understood that he was always in the presence of the Almighty God. Joseph knew that as a child of God, God was counting on him to always stand up for the right. That God had called him to be a leader and not a follower. God saw Joseph's faithfulness and blessed him greatly. Everyone noticed him, especially Mrs. Potiphar. She took a sexual interest in Joseph and made several sexual advances towards him. But Joseph was careful not to give unclear messages to Potiphar, the Potiphar's wife. His refusal to her advances were articulate and reasonable. In Genesis 39:9, Joseph reminded Potiphar's wife of the broad trust her husband had placed in him. He even went on further to tell her that what she was desiring was wicked and sinful. When sexually assaulted, Joseph chose to run away half naked rather than to submit to Potiphar's wife and sin against his God. This sexual harassment by this woman took place in a power relationship that disadvantaged Joseph. Even after his escape from Potiphar's wife and his subsequent arrest on false charges, Joseph seemed to have no legal recourse. You know, some of you may find yourselves in similar situations at work, where your boss or your co-worker is pressuring you into compromising your moral values. But remember, church, greater is he that is within you than he that's in the world. Remember, God has promised to be with us when we go through our temptations. In Psalm 50:15, we are encouraged to call upon God in our times of trouble, and he will deliver us. Joseph's faithfulness to God did not rescue him from false accusations and imprisonment. If we find ourselves in similar situations, our faithfulness to God is not a guarantee that we will escape every situation not having battle scars. But Joseph did leave an instructive testimony to Potiphar's wife and possibly those of his household. By standing up for the principles in God's word, Joseph was able to let Potiphar's wife know that as a child of God, he would not compromise his values and his beliefs. Knowing that we belong to God and that he defends the weak should certainly help us when we go through our difficult circumstances without giving up. For those of you who are facing similar situations, let us remember that even when we are falsely accused and wrongly treated, we can still carry on with the work of God. We can still trust God to work things out to the end. So once again, we find Joseph. Joseph finds himself in a place where it seems as though God had forgotten him. He is now an inmate in the prison of Egypt, serving a sentence for a crime that he was innocent of. But while in prison, Joseph had two options. One, he could choose to wallow in his misfortunes, or he could choose to make the best out of the situation. The Bible tells us that Joseph chose option two. For while there in prison, he remained true to God. He remained true to the God of his father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Genesis chapter 39, verses 21 to 23 reads, "But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed his faithful love. And the Lord made him a favorite of the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with Joseph and caused everything he did to succeed. Talk about the goodness of God, church. Regardless of where we are, regardless of our position that we may find ourselves in, He will always make a way, for there is nothing too hard for God to do. Joseph found himself interpreting the dreams of Potiphar's chief cupbearer and chief baker. These were two men who were in great position. The chief cupbearer not only tasted the king's wine for quality and to detect poison, he also enjoyed close proximity to those with great political power. Often cupbearers became confidants who were valued for their counsels, like Nehemiah in Nehemiah 2:1-4, where he had a trusted relationship with Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Like chief cupbearers, chief bakers were also trusted officials who had open access to the highest persons in the government and who may have performed duties way beyond the preparation of food. I want us to note today, church, that interpreting dreams in the ancient world was a sophisticated profession involving technical dream books that listed elements of dreams and their meanings. Records of the veracity of the past dreams and their interpretation provided empirical evidence to support the interpreter's predictions. Joseph, however, was not schooled in this tradition. Joseph was careful to give all credit to the Almighty God with the interpretations to the dreams of the chief butler and the chief cupbearer. This is what Joseph said. He said, "Interpreting dreams is God's business. Go ahead and tell me your dreams." Genesis 48. Joseph had asked the chief cupbearer to put in a good word for him when he was restored to his former position. But from the moment that cupbearer left the walls of the prison, he forgot about Joseph, who had interpreted his dream for him. In our world today, we find that people are not much different from those in Joseph's day. There are times when we invest in the success of another who rises way beyond our reach, only to be discarded when we are no longer needed. But does that mean that our work has been for nothing? Does that mean that we would have been better off trusting in our own position and promotion? Certainly not, for God has employed us to be co-laborers in His vineyards. As Christians, it is our duty to help our fellow men. There may be times when we doubt, when we have doubts about how our investment in others may eventually benefit us. There may be times when we wonder about their character and their motives of the people we help. We may even disapprove of what they do or how they treat us after we would have given them our time and energy. But be encouraged today, for Paul in Galatians 6:10 tells us that whenever we have an opportunity, that we should work for the good of all. If we start with a commitment to work for God above all others, then it becomes easier to move ahead, believing that in God all things work for the good of those who love him, who have called us according to his promise. Romans 8:28. The Bible tells us in Genesis 41:1 that Potiphar had a dream 2 years after the chief cupbearer was restored to his position. None of the magicians, none of the wise men could interpret Pharaoh's dream or the Pharaoh's dream. It was only then that the cupbearer remembered Joseph, the young Hebrew boy whom he had met in prison and who had told him the meaning of his dream. So here was Joseph. He was brought before Pharaoh, and Joseph told Pharaoh that it is not through him that his dreams will be interpreted, but through the power of the Almighty God. Joseph did such an excellent job in representing God that the Pharaoh was able to credit God with revealing to Joseph the meaning of his dreams. Genesis 41:39 reads, "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or as wise as you are.'" Joseph had proven to be a faithful servant of God, even when the odds were against him. And we see God rewarding him for his faithfulness. How are you, church? How am I when we are faced with the decisions to stand up for the right? How are we when we are called to stand up for God? Do we compromise our beliefs, or do we stand up like Joseph and say that I cannot sin against my God? More and more, we will be called to stand up for God. And the question is, are you ready? Am I ready? Pharaoh promoted Joseph from the cell of the prison to second in command in Egypt. Like Joseph, when we confessed our own inability to meet the challenges that we face, we can find appropriate ways to attribute the success to God. We will be able to forge ahead and recognize that it is through God that we are able to conquer. Joseph was able to sit back and say, "Look at God. From a prison cell to the palace of a king. From being thrown into a pit to having a royal signet ring placed on his finger. From being sold into slavery to having gold chains placed around his neck. Fine, expensive clothing in his closet. Official transportation to take him anywhere he wanted in Egypt, and a beautiful Egyptian wife. With all this success, I'm sure Joseph was tempted to forget the God who had brought him through. But Joseph did not forget his God, because he had purposed in his heart that he was going to be true to the God of heaven. It is important for us to remember that God helps us to deal with failure and defeat. Yet, we may need him even more when we are facing success. We have to take a leaf out of Joseph's book when we achieve success. Joseph handled his promotion with success in a godly manner because he had made decisions beforehand that he was going to always be true to his God. Back in his father's home, the dreams of leadership that God gave him had convinced Joseph that he had a divinely ordained purpose and a destiny that he never forgot. His personal nature was basically trusting of people. Joseph seems to have held no grudges against his jealous brothers or the forgetful cupbearer. Before Pharaoh promoted Joseph, Joseph knew that the Lord was with him, and he had tangible evidence to prove it. Repeatedly giving God credit was not only the right thing for Joseph to do, but it also reminded Joseph that his skills were from God. Joseph was courteous and humble. His desire was always to do what he could, not only to help Pharaoh, but also the Egyptian people, even when they ran out of money and livestock. Joseph was able to earn their trust. Throughout the rest of his life as an administrator, Joseph consistently devoted himself for the good of others. Before I move on, it is important for us to understand that in our broken world, God's response to our prayers doesn't necessarily always come quickly. Joseph was 17 years old when his brothers sold him into slavery. Genesis 37:2. He was 30 years old when he was released from prison after interpreting Pharaoh's dream. Genesis 41:36. It took 13 long, hard years for God to answer Joseph's prayer. Not because he couldn't, but because God was preparing Joseph for what was ahead. We may be praying today for God to do something for us, and it may appear that God is not answering our prayers. I say to us today, don't give up. Don't lose hope. For God is answering your prayer just the way he wants to answer it. He may not answer it right now, but he's always on time for every situation. We just need to trust him. We just need to believe in him. For he has promised in Isaiah 65:24, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet praying, I will hear. In Psalm 84:11, God promises that he would not withhold any good thing from those who diligently seek him. So don't give up, church. Though the trials may be hard, though the road may be rough, let us keep trusting God. He's always going to come through for us. In his new position as governor of Egypt, Joseph immediately got the ball rolling. He was more interested in getting the job done for others rather than taking advantage of his new position as head of the royal court, all the while maintaining his faith in God. Joseph recognized that his wisdom and discernment were gifts from God. And he was also aware that he still had a lot to learn about the land of Egypt, its agricultural industry in particular. As governor of Egypt, Joseph's work touched nearly every practical area of the nation's life. He had to learn about legislation. He had to learn about communication. He had to learn the art of negotiation. He had to have clear knowledge of how the transportational system operated. He had to get safe serve certification, because he had to oversee safe and efficient methods of food storage. As governor of Egypt, Joseph had to have some knowledge of constructing buildings. He had to learn methods of economic strategizing and forecasting. He had to learn the principles of record keeping, payroll, and the handling of transactions, both by means of currency and through bartering. As governor of Egypt, Joseph had to learn human resource management and the acquisition of real estate. His extraordinary abilities with respect to God and the people did not operate in separate domains. The genuine success, the genius of Joseph's success lay in the effective integration of his divine gifts and his acquired competencies. Joseph did his job for the sole purpose to glorify his God. Not for personal recognition, not for personal gain. Too often, we do things to gain the praises and the recognition of men. We need to understand today that of ourselves, we are nothing. And it is God who gives us the ability to do what we do. And therefore, since he gives us the ability to do what we do, all praise and honor ought to be given to him. Today, church, the story of Joseph is a narrative Christ-like story of a man who was thrown into almost certain death. Yet, God journeyed with him through the pits and dungeons of life to an honored place in the throne room of the most powerful government on earth. Joseph went through both horrible and wonderful experiences as he worked for Potiphar and Pharaoh. But he was always trusting God to lead and to guide him. Because of Joseph's commitment to do God's will, God was able to use Joseph to make a difference in the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. Because of his commitment to do God's will, God was able to use Joseph to be the difference between life and death for hundreds of thousands of people. Joseph had a feeling of empathy for the needy, yet at the same time, bearing responsibility to do what was good for Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Joseph applied his God-given skills and wisdom and successfully brought Egypt through an agricultural catastrophe. His wise strategy and effective implementation of the plan even allowed Egypt to supply food to the rest of the world during a famine. Genesis 41:57. But as I conclude today, let me quickly draw some application from Joseph's management experience. Number one, whenever we are given responsibilities, take the time to become as familiar as possible with what is required of you. Number two, pray for discernment regarding the future so that you can make wise plans. Number three, commit yourselves to God first, and then expect him to direct and establish your plans. Number four, gratefully and appropriately acknowledge the gifts that God has given to you. Number five, even though others recognize God's presence in your life and the special talents that you have, don't broadcast them in a self-serving effort to gain respect. Number 6, educate yourselves about how to do your job and carry it out with excellence. Number 7, seek the practical good for others, knowing that God has placed you where you are to be a blessing. Number 8, be fair in all your dealings, especially when circumstances are grim and deeply problematic. Number 9, although your exemplary service may propel you to prominence, remember your founding mission as God's servant. Your life does not consist in what you gain for yourself. Number 10, generously extend the fruit of your labor as widely as possible to those who truly need it, regardless of what you think of them as individuals. Number 11, accept the fact that God may bring you into a particular field of work under extremely challenging conditions. This does not mean that something has gone terribly wrong or that you are out of God's will. Number 12, have courage that God will fit you for the task at hand. And the last application, believe that what you do will not only benefit those whom you see, but also your work has the potential to touch lives for many generations to come. God is able to accomplish abundantly more than we can imagine or think. I want us to remember today, church, that God can make a difference in our lives. Whether you are at the top of your game or in the pit of disaster, God is with you. Not only as a calming presence, but He's actually blessing us with gifts. He's blessing us with connections so that we can be successful at the job at hand. Difficulties may come, but He has promised to provide a way of escape. He invites us today to learn of Him, for He has the best advice. He has the best suggestions. He has the best gifts. So let us continue to trust God. Let us remember that God is with us. So even though we may go through trials and tribulation, He is going to see us through, for He has promised to be with us always. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the reminder that You are with us. We thank You, O Lord, that You've provided us with the strength that is needed to endure to the end. Lord, may You help us to continue to trust in You. Help us, O Lord, to continue to depend upon You for guidance. And may we always remain humble and give all the praise and adoration to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.